Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 290. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great people we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically General Wear, for bringing this episode to you for free. I only partner with companies that I believe in, both the people and the product. And, you know, the guys at General Wear are fantastic. Evan, Heather, everybody is just, they're unbelievable people, and they have one of the best products on the market. So if you're in the market, reach out to them. If you're not, just let them know how much you appreciate them being a part of the show the next time you see them at a conference or whatnot. This week, I'm joined by a buddy of mine, Drew Massey. He runs Game Time Sports over in Nashville, Tennessee, or just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And just a great guy, one of the best, you know, people in our business, and we were just talking off camera about the great relationship he has with his daughter, and just a fun guy to know. So I'm excited to have you on the show, man.
Well, thank you very much. It's an absolute honor and pleasure. I've obviously followed your work for a very, very long time. And, you know, talking about some of the great people in our industry, I don't think you can say that without mentioning your name. So you've brought a lot to the industry, and I'm just honored to be invited to talk to you for a little bit, Ron.
No, awesome. I appreciate that. I really do. You know, your history, I mean, you've been pretty much on the performance side for most of it, but you were at Bethel College, you've been in the YMCA, you've Empower Fitness, now obviously Game Time Sports. Talk a little bit about your experience and which one of those experiences kind of best shaped you for the person that you are today.
Oh, wow. You know, right out of college, I would have to say, and I can't get on here and talk about strength conditioning without mentioning my mentor in college, who was Lon Record, who is with Hammer Strength now. But he was a GA at Austin Peay where I was at college, and he is the first person that kind of told me, you know, how you could get into this, and I could actually do this for a job, which was really, really exciting for me coming from, I thought I was going to be a communications major when I first started. But from there, the experience at Bethel with working with the athletes, and then, I really got to say, when I left that avenue and went to work with general population with the YMCA, that really shaped me a lot about how to work with different people and how to, you know, cause you may work with a stay-at-home mom, you may work with, somebody that's working 50 hours a week. And then a lot of your high school kids would come in because there's not a strength coach, at the high school level. So it really taught me a lot about how to interact with different people and to, learn how to program for different people. But I really owe a lot of my career to the YMCA and just the people that are a part of that association. Anytime I can go speak at YMCAs now, I try to do that just because I feel like I need to give something back. And then, as far as the, athletic performance side, when I was with, Empower, and working with Dr. Burton Elrod and his staff and learning a lot more about orthopedics and physical therapy and how it all intertwined with, I mean, those two things probably shaped who I am today and had a huge influence on what we do at Game Time right now.
Yeah. I forgot all about Lon being at Austin Peay.
Yeah. Yeah. Graduate. Came from like Penn State, I think. He was at Notre Dame for a little bit. And then, graduate GA at Austin Peay for sure. Yeah. Great dude.
Well, obviously running the business over there and all the experiences throughout your career and the successes that you've had, it doesn't come without making some mistakes along the way. Oof. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made and how you've learned from it?
Oh, wow. Man, I don't know that we've got enough time to go over all the mistakes, that I've made. But I really, here's what I will answer the question by telling, any new person that we hire, And the biggest mistake that I made or that I try to avoid making now is skipping steps. And what I mean by that, whether it be exercise progression or whether it be, on the initial intake, anytime you skip steps, you just set yourself up for problems, you know. Just because somebody new comes in, we can't automatically assume, and maybe we do a movement screen on them and they look like they move well, but then you put a kettlebell on their hand and try to get them to goblet squat and it just goes bad and they have a bad experience or whatnot, so that's the biggest one I'd say. And I've done it, you know, especially younger, you take things for granted. You take people for granted. You take, your knowledge, you know, you think you know more than you actually know, which is a huge, huge mistake in and of itself. But just don't skip steps. Like that's one of the biggest mistakes that I made. Like, you know, follow the recipe, whatever that looks like. And you can move through that, you know, at different speeds. Every individual athlete, every group's going to be a little bit different. But take the time to set that thing up, man, and tee it up nice. And usually it goes way, way smoother when you do that.
Yeah, I would echo that. I mean, I think, you know, obviously you want to push the envelope. But I always talk, some of the advice that I give young coaches, you know, so it might seem contradictory to that, in that I tell them to try to, you go from intern, you know, unpaid intern to paid intern to, you know, the part-time assistant to graduate assistant to, you know, low-paid assistant, high-paid assistant, strength coach, right? So
right.
In that pursuit, sometimes I tell them that you want to try to get as high as you can. You know, so
sure.
If you're choosing between head strength coach at a high school or GA at a bigger school, sometimes I say go to that head strength coach position, because
right.
you want to sit in the big chair. You need to learn the job, and it's going to help you, you know, from a positioning standpoint. That said, I completely agree with you that if you do skip some of those steps like that, it's critical that you go and you fill that knowledge gap with, with experience or mentors or whatever it may be.
No, so I agree 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talked a little bit about the difference between private and college, but you had the choice there to make, you know, in your career path. What ultimately drew you to kind of the performance private sector as opposed to staying in that collegiate route?
It's kind of funny. You know, I had Lon as a mentor, and then from there, I went to Bethel College, and I really didn't have anybody at that time. So, you know, necessity breeds action sometimes. So at that time, I didn't get into, and you know as well as I do, some of these coaching trees that, you know, can help you in your career and advance. And it's not always what you know, it's who you know. But kind of going over to Bethel and not having that mentor, head strength coaching job kind of got me out of the loop a little bit from some of these coaching trees. And then I went into the private sector, kind of out of necessity. And then talking with some of my friends that had gotten into these, they were like, man, like you probably made the right choice. If you don't want to move around and don't want to be, you know, some of the negatives that happen in any job, you know, any job's got positive and negatives, but that's really kind of what happened. And I fell in love with working with different populations and different people. It felt like I could have a bigger impact. That's where I kind of felt like I fit a little bit better. I could take a high school athlete if I wanted to, or I could work with a soccer mom or kind of a weekend warrior kind of person. Right. So at the end of the day, you know, I did it out of necessity, because I always dreamt of, being a GA and being, being at the college level and working my way up and things like that. And, life just didn't happen that way, but I certainly don't regret it, because I feel like that I fit better in that private sector.
Yeah, I think, there's obviously a lot of, work going around, and it seems like it's a common theme on social media right now with, the entrepreneurial side of our job, our career, mm-hmm. our profession, and and, you know, some of the challenges that are faced by going that college or pro route and, you know, and not having as much control of your own destiny. But I think it is also important for people to realize that, you know, going out on your own, getting into the sports performance business, it's not all freaking sunshine and rainbows, right?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, man. Not at all.
What is that strength coach that maybe is like, man, do I really want to be chasing this? Do I really want to be, you know, moving, all that type of stuff? I'll just go open a gym. What do they not know that they need to know?
Everything. They don't know, like, literally. Like, I'm still learning from people, you know, like Andy McCloy is close to me, and I call him. I talked to him just the other day. There's just so many ins and outs of like business and some of the legal parts of it and what is and what is not acceptable and things like that. It's not just, all right, I'm going to go pay this person some rent and now everybody can come through the doors. Like, you got to figure out, how do you get people to the doors? How do you market outside of just this little space that you have? People don't know you're there yet. Like, so now how do you get people in? So now you spend a whole lot of your time that you thought you were going to be, oh, I'm just going to open my doors and I'm going to coach and I'm going to have all these athletes and kids come in and things like that. But like, then you spend your time like going out and trying to find those people to get to come into the gym and doing health fairs and doing, you know, a lot of these things. So that young strength coach that's out there, if you've got a situation where you're getting mentored by somebody that can help you, you know, advance your career path, then, you know, stay the course if that's possible, just because, you know, it's a lot harder than a lot of people maybe make it look like on social media. You know, on social media, man, you're only seeing what people want you to see. You're not seeing, you know, the time where, you know, quite literally, and I'm very, very transparent in this, like, you know, early on in the process, like, I was taking money out of our account, like my personal account, to pay to get payroll until some other things kept to come rolling in. So right. it's not exactly sunshines and rainbows. Those are the exceptions, not the rule, for sure.
Well, I think that's, I mean, you know, and again, I think that's, you know, I've tried to be somewhat quiet on social just because I agree with the message. I agree with, we need to strengthen our professionalism. I agree with, we need to, you know, to our bottom needs to be making more money, you know, and it needs to be more balanced amongst the highs and the lows there and all those types of things. But I mean, the gym business, that's a lot of people's backup plan, you know, and, yep. They don't realize that you're as much of a businessman as you are a strength coach at that time.
100%. Yeah. I would say even more. Yeah.
Making $40,000-$50,000 doing that. I mean, you know how hard you got to work just to keep the lights on and then turn around and try to break a $40,000-$50,000 salary on top of that. And it's very much an eat what you kill, you know? So if you're not bringing people in, you're starving.
You're starving. Exactly. And yeah. Now you're not coaching as much now, 'cause now you're going out trying to find more people to come in and, you know, you're up early and you're home late. So that's for sure.
But having a job where you get to wear gym clothes every day and blow a whistle four or five hours a day, it's not the worst job in the world.
It is not. I tell people all the time, man, you know, my business suit is what you put on probably to hang out at your house. So it's not a bad deal.
There's a balance there for sure. Well, working with those groups, and specifically like that high school group,
yep.
No, there's a good mix out there, and I really like what you've done in the past. But talking about loading for that you know, that 13 to 18 year old, you know, athlete, either boy or girl, you know, it's not as simple as just freaking trying to run them into the ground, and it's not as simple, you know, especially when you're trying to build kind of that movement vocabulary from, you know, from age to age. Talk a little bit about how you set up your loading progressions for that age group.
If we're going to work with one of those younger athletes that comes in, and hopefully, and we're starting to see that now. We've been open now about 5.5, or it'll be 6 years in June. So we've been open for a little bit, that we're seeing the kids that just started with us coming through. So when we're working with that 13-year-old athlete, when we're working with that 13-year-old kid, we want to make sure that we expose them to, we want to give them a lot of exposures. So if we're going to look at that loading progression and we're going to start with, let's just say something that's easy is a squat, is we're going to stay body weight squat until he has it down or she has it down really, really nice. And we may start them with an assisted version of that, where they're getting a little bit of help from a TRX, because at that age, you know, I'm not necessarily worried about how much load they can handle. I'm worried about, you know, can't, because I'm looking at it from the longevity point of the child or the athlete. I'm not looking to put it on Instagram or Facebook or whatever and be like, oh, this 13-year-old kid can squat, you know, 275 or whatever it is. I'm looking at the longevity of the athlete. So I know that if they can nail those movement patterns down early, then we're going to set them up for better success. So in keeping with our example, the squat, after we nail body weight, and we have parameters. So if you can give me 3 sets of 10 at great body weight with good control at good depth, then our first loading progression, we're going to load you anteriorly. We're going to load you in the front, usually with a dumbbell or a kettlebell in a goblet position. And then again, we're gonna, and we can ride that out for a very long time. And we have 120-pound dumbbells and things like that. So, you know, we can ride that out if they need to stay there, because that's what's best for the athlete. That they're more than welcome to stay there. But if we're going, you know, straight through the progression and not and nobody does this like you want them to, but if we go from there, we're gonna go from goblet position, and then we're gonna go to that 2 kettlebell rack squat, that 2 kettlebell. Front rack squat position. I really, really like that. It puts the weight a little bit further out in front of the athlete so that they have to maintain a nice upright position. So, you know, 260-pound kettlebells, which is 120 pounds, may feel like 185-pound front squat. So it's actually less system load, but the same amount of kind of stress that they're going through. So we kind of use that Charlie Weingroff, you know, lowest system load, thought process behind that. And then once again, same idea, you know, 3 sets of 10 at a certain weight, then we're either going to increase weight or, you know, depending on the athlete, we may put a barbell in the rack position, from there. So that'll get us to our front squat. Our 4-fingertip front squat. And then from there, we'll go into our back squatting and our safety bar back squats and things like that. So, you know, is there a time, you know, I would love to be like, oh yeah, 13-year-olds do this and 14-year-olds do this and 15-year-olds do this. And that's not necessarily the case. We're going to progress the athlete or that person through that continuum, as we see fit. Some kids, it's kind of like school. You know, some kids you'll pick up on certain things quicker than others. Right. Some stay there. You know, whatever. But so everybody has their own. There's no time frame that we say you have to hit this certain point. The beauty of the weight room is that everybody can get there. It's just how much work are you willing to put in to do it?
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, so much of that progression and regression and making sure that you're working through a system, I think is so important and often missed. And we got to make sure that as coaches, we're setting those KPIs or those skill sets that need to be met before advancing into the next thing. And what that does is it's speaking their language because they're used to the video game of having to beat a level before moving.
Yeah, right. That's a great way to put it. That's exactly right.
And if you put it that way, but I think, you know, the hard part is, I guess my question to you would be, how do you keep the parents that are over there like, you know, why is my kid not squatting 275 like I saw on Instagram when, you know, and he's over there doing a goblet kettlebell squat?
Yeah, that's really funny. I just got this text message yesterday from one of our coaches like, yeah, you know, group went was the first group that we ran. Yeah, the group went great. Had a couple of parents that were wanting to come over and things like that and that wanting to kind of coach their kid, you know, while they're in the group. Which, you know, that's fine. We want the parents to be able to see what we're doing with their child, you know, as a parent yourself and myself, like obviously you kind of want to know what's going on and things like that. But, so they're more than welcome to watch the sessions. But, you know, one of the things that I tried it, and here's the other part about business that you don't have to deal with that in the college setting, you know, that part of it, you don't have to deal with a lot of that sometimes in the college setting. But, when we do, we just really have a conversation. It's just kind of like anything else. Like, right. Hey, you know, this is where we think they are. We understand, you know, kind of what you've seen or maybe what you're used to, but I am in this for the best interest of your child and your athlete. And we want to make them the best athlete that, that they can be. And trying to load them too quickly is going to give them maybe a negative experience if they miss the, lift, or, you know, maybe they're a little bit self-conscious, or, you know, worst case scenario, they're trying something because you're putting a lot of pressure on them to load it up. They get hurt or they get injured, and now they have a negative view of the weight room or the coach or the experience. As a business person, they have a negative, a negative connotation with our business. So we really just kind of try to have that conversation, and we really try to have that conversation with the coach before they get there.
Yeah.
You know, with the parents, as they sign up and say, hey, look, you know, it's always open. You can always watch. What we do ask that you do is try to refrain from coming out onto the floor or coaching your child. You know, if you want to talk about it on the way home, that's up to you. But, you know, and sometimes it's kind of like, you know, I don't come to your place of employment and watch what you do and try to coach. Like it's the same thing. I know you right. may think that it's a little bit different, but it's the same thing. And our coaches are certified and we're qualified to do what we're doing. And so just trust us and let us coach. And usually it's within the first two or three sessions. And then after they see it and then, like, you know, 12 weeks later, after we've seen them 36 times or whatever, three times a week or whatnot, then they kind of get it. And they're like, oh, wow. Like, wow, my kid is really good at this. Well, and that's what you want, you know? Yes. But if we had gone back and loaded them up and things like that too early, we may not be here right now. So,
right. Yeah. I think it's so important. I mean, it's, you know, with anything, whether or not it's a coach or a parent or even another athlete, you know, you got to be able to show, if you can point to some people that have gone through the progressions and have, you know, some social proof of the system, I think that's always good. I think, you know, obviously relating it to what all the negatives are, like you mentioned, I think that there's positives in that. But like you said, I think the key to that is establishing, you know, some boundaries early and then having offline conversations is always the way to handle that situation, I think. You know, we were talking a little bit off camera about, you know, our daughters. I mean, I've got two daughters. You've got a daughter, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things, man, where, like, I just told my daughter that last night that she can do anything she wants to do. You know, she can be president if she wants to be president, you know.
Absolutely.
Working with female athletes and specifically speed development, what kind of special messaging do you have for the female athlete, or is there special messaging to the female athlete when you're either coaching in the weight room or on the track?
One of the biggest things that we want to get across to our female athletes is that it's okay to be strong. It's okay to be fast. Like, we want, like, that's a cool thing to be now. Like, we want to make that cool. You know, our young females are in a time with social media and things like that, that every little thing gets picked apart from them, you know, at them, whether it be, you know, looks or weight or there's just a lot of different things. And so one of the biggest things that we want to do is we want to build that confidence up. So that goes into a lot of our coaching. And we tell our coaches and we try to emphasize our coaches, let's focus on the things, even if it's not perfect, let's focus on the things that they're doing right so that they do more of the right thing and less of the wrong thing. Cause I think that ultimately that's kind of how we learn from a nervous system standpoint. Anyway, we kind of learn how to move and how to do things by, like a sculptor with clay. You kind of take away what's not needed, and then you're left with this nice sculpture. But that's the big thing with our female athletes is we want to instill that confidence. We want them to be proud of themselves for being strong. You know, we've got videos of some of our female soccer players that are, you know, benching 135 pounds for 7 reps and stuff like that, and they get all excited about it. But that's one of the biggest things that we want, is that it's okay to be cool. It's okay to be strong. It's okay to be athletic. You know, I always tell them, like, as long as you can out deadlift your boyfriend, then I've done my job. So, so we're good to go.
Yeah, I think the key message there that you mentioned is I think keeping positive role models, you know, positive imagery in front of them is important. Whether that's those videos of female soccer players mentioned that, or
maybe a
CrossFitter that's training 6 hours a day and looks like a supermodel or whatever it may be. I think it's find those things and keep putting them in front of our young female athletes for sure.
Yeah, that's our biggest thing is, you know, we want them to be very confident in themselves and we want them to trust themselves and the decisions that they can make. And I think that if you can start that in the weight room, then I think that you just set them up to be able to trust themselves later on in life. And I think that's a really, really, really huge thing for them for sure.
Well, man, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
The best piece of coaching advice I've ever received, never miss a good opportunity to shut up. it was a really good piece of advice I got early in my career. Because perception is reality to that individual. So never miss a good opportunity to just shut up and listen, I think is the best piece of coaching advice I've ever gotten.
That's a good one. That's a great one. You want to say a book, app, and website recommendation?
Book right now. I've recommended this more in the last 6 months than I have, Grit by Angela Duckworth. Outstanding book. I'm actually reading it for a second time and kind of going really diving a little bit deeper into it. And it's taken me a lot longer to read it the second time because I'm highlighting a lot of stuff. Would like to turn it into a really good presentation because I feel like there's just a lot of really, really good nuggets in that read.
Fantastic.
Did you say app and website?
Yep.
App. From a nutrition standpoint, and I'm really not normally the guy that goes into the nutrition standpoint, but I've been using an app called Better Human to kind of track some of my protein intake and stuff over the last couple of weeks. And I've really, really enjoyed their platform, and they're it seems to be really, really user friendly. So I would say, if you're into tracking macros, and we've actually used it for a couple of our athletes that we had one that came in over Christmas break that needed to gain some weight, and then we had a female soccer player that that needed to gain some weight as well, and we've kind of used it that way, but we've also used it obviously for weight loss and stuff like that. So Better Human. For sure. Website. I don't get paid by them, but I really think that the Body by Boyle online website, it is a fee-based website, but man, Ron, there's so much great content on there. Yeah. You can watch Mike Boyle's staff meetings, and we've actually done that as a staff and watched their staff meetings. It's really kind of good to know that they kind of go through some of the same problems that we're asking ourselves sometimes, but even their winter seminars and stuff, just the amount of stuff that's on there is really unbelievable. And I think the price is, I can't remember, maybe it's $39 a month or something like that. But the amount of quality education that you can get and just that from one of the best, you know, in the industry is outstanding. So, bodybyboyleonline.com.
Those are all good ones. I'm pretty sure Angela Duckworth has a TED Talk on grit as well.
Yeah. It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's such a great book.
Well, man, like I said at the beginning, man, I think the world would be optimistic. You're, you know, a fantastic guy that is committed to his family, is committed to his business, and you know what I respect the most about you is it seems like every time I turn around, you're constantly trying to improve your knowledge base. I mean, it's whether or not you're going and flying to a Perform Better Summit or you're going and coming to a Play Summit, a Play Lab or anything along those lines. I mean, you're always looking to improve and be better for your athletes. And I think ultimately that's what it's all about is continually to strive to be the best version of ourselves for our athletes on a daily basis. So, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing and just letting everybody a chance to get to know you a little bit better.
Well, thank you so much. And I couldn't echo that more. I don't think that we ever stop learning. And I think that that's very, very important in our field. It changes so much. And, we are the filter for our athletes because there's so much information out there that I think the strength coach has to be a great filter for what's out there for them. And you've meant so much to my career. So I just appreciate you having me on and giving me this time to kind of chat.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.